चंचलमस्तरम तटस्थो नियम यथार आत्मनिव वशम नयेत।
From whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady, but a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. One who controls the mind, and therefore the senses as well, is called Goswami or Swami. And one who is controlled by the mind is called Godas, or the servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesh, or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. We are reading today from the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Here, the Sankhya Yoga, the path of reaching the absolute truth being given by Lord Sri Krishna, is being described. Krishna tells us that there is no question of yoga without disciplining the mind. Krishna says, Bandhuratmatmanastasya kinatmaivatmanachita anatmanastasatrutve varatitamaiva satravat. That for one who controls his mind, the mind is the best of friends. But for one who fails to do so, his very mind is his worst enemy. In fact, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the mind is one's one and only enemy. And therefore, one should never trust one's enemy. The mind is also sometimes compared to fire. When fire is under control, it can bring about the greatest benefits for ourselves, our family, for all humanity. When fire is under control, we can cook with it. We can heat our homes with it when it is cold. But when fire is out of control, it can only do one thing, create havoc, chaos, and destruction. Therefore, whenever one is working with fire, one must be very, very careful to keep it completely under control, so that you are the master of the fire and the fire does not become the master of you. So the mind, in the same way Krishna is explaining, when it is controlled, the mind is one's best of friends. Through our mind, we can perfect our life, purify our existence, and do the greatest welfare work for all of humanity and all living beings. But the uncontrolled mind will simply cause one's own destruction. And we find when people's minds are collectively uncontrolled, the whole world, the whole planet, is in utter chaos. So therefore, Krishna explains that yoga means to discipline the mind. And how to discipline the mind? Krishna, Arjuna, he explains to Sri Krishna in one of the future verses of this chapter, that my dear Lord, to control this mind, it seems to be more impossible than controlling the raging wind. Recently, I believe it was just earlier this year, we remember the great cyclone that took place in Bangladesh. How many hundreds and thousands of people were killed within seconds? And how millions and millions of people's homes were utterly destroyed? How these winds caused massive floods, also fire. Who could control the wind? Can any of the scientists with their rocket ships and airplanes, could they stop a cyclone? The most they could do is warn people to get away. And that they are very proud of. But they cannot stop the wind and its devastating effects. But Arjuna claims, Krishna, I believe that the instruction you're giving me to control my mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. But Krishna tells Arjuna that what you are saying is true. The speed of the wind may be in velocity, so many miles per hour. And when it gets very fast, it wreaks complete destruction of everything it touches. But the mind, how much faster the mind can travel? We can think of some place 5-10,000 miles away. If I think of my home in America, my mind is there right now. Within a fraction of a second. That is the power of the mind. By constant practice and detachment. But Krishna explains how to constantly practice. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajin nam namaskuru. Mame vaisyasi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. Always think of me. Yato yato nishchalati manas chancha namastatam tatastatam niyam maitad atman yena vasham naye. We're trying to always think of Krishna. We're chanting his names. We're worshipping his deity form. We're sitting in class listening to his words. But still, even in the face of all these great benedictions that the Lord has given, my mind is still constantly running somewhere else. Krishna says that we must constantly practice the process of thinking of him. Always think of me. Because when we think of Krishna, we are putting the mind at the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Krishna is none different than the divine transcendental sound of his holy name. We read in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about how a cyclone, a whirlwind, came to Vrindavan, much worse than the cyclone of Bangladesh or Madras. Recently a cyclone also was there at Tirupati, Madras, all these places. This cyclone was millions of times worse because it wasn't simply an act of material nature, but was a powerful Rakshasa demon who took the form of the wind. His name was Trinavarta. And when he came to Vrindavan, everything became pitch black. Everything started just blowing and blowing, and it was complete havoc. Nobody could see anything. And that whirlwind demon, Trinavarta, took Krishna away from the Brijvasis, up into the sky. His desire was to kill him, knowing that if he killed Krishna, then everyone in Vrindavan would die, because they could not live without him. So in the same way, this is the mission of the demon of the mind. Even when we're trying to think of Krishna, even when we're trying to chant his holy name and be with his devotees, the mind, like the Trinavarta demon, is always trying to take Krishna away, to cause so much darkness and chaos that we can't find or see Krishna anywhere. Knowing that if the mind can take Krishna away, if Maya can work through the mind in this process, then spiritually we're dead, we're finished, we're completely under the control of the modes of material nature. But Krishna, the Brijvasis, they simply prayed, Krishna, save us. This great wind, we have no power. Please, Krishna, save us. And Krishna grabbed hold of that wind, that whirlwind, Trinavarta. And Trinavarta understood, as long as Krishna is upon me, I'm conquered. Therefore, that whirlwind was trying to do everything possible to push Krishna away. But Krishna held on. And ultimately, it was only the Supreme Lord, Sri Gopal, who could destroy that demon. So similarly, you cannot control your mind. Only Krishna has that power. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakta Ruchyate. Therefore, by constantly practicing, keeping our mind fixed on Krishna, and Krishna tells us how, whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, just bring it back to me. Think of me. Chant my holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. This is the most common question that you're telling me to chant, but every time I chant, my mind wants to go everywhere except the holy name. It's such a problem. Why should you be surprised? You've trained your mind for millions of births to drag your intelligence and your senses wherever it wants to go. You've given your mind the complete power of attorney to control your life. You've fed it the nourishment of total obedience. Birth after birth after birth, you've created a monster out of your mind. So now you're surprised? It is absolutely natural for the conditioned soul, the neophyte devotee, for his mind to constantly be wandering elsewhere. But Krishna explains, you must simply endeavor with determination that whenever and wherever the mind wanders, you bring it back. Hare Krishna. You simply hear the holy name. It will come, it will go. It will come, it will go. You must keep bringing it back to the holy name. This is the sublime process. By practicing this process and simply trying, Krishna sees your endeavor. And when he sees your endeavor, that you are sincere and you're giving everything you can to keep your mind with him, then ananyas chintayanto mam gejana paryubhashate tesham nityabhayuktanam yogakshemam vaham yaham. Then he takes the rest. He will preserve what you have, carry what you lack. That is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. Like the Trinavarta demon, we just have to keep Krishna always there. Take shelter of Krishna. Seek Krishna's mercy through the sound of his name. That is all that is required. And it is described that Krishna's name is Bhakta Vatsal. What does this mean? That Lord Sri Krishna, he is conquered by the mind that is always thinking of him. We have read the story of the Damodar Leela. Krishna allowed himself to be bound by the rope of Mother Yashoda's love. Krishna says in the Gita, for one who controls his mind by always thinking of me, the super soul is already reached. Krishna personally becomes the captive servant of one who always thinks of him with love. There's a beautiful story in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. There was a devotee, his name was Goridas Pandit. In Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela, Radha and Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, Radha Krishna appeared in one form, Krishna, with the heart of Prema Bhakti, Mahabhav, of Sri Radharani, and with the complexion of Sri Radharani. Radha and Krishna became one to reveal the divine love of Goloka Vrindavan to the world. And similarly, Lord Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda. Brajendra Nandana Sachi Shuta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nita. Brajendra Nandana, Sri Nanda Maharaj's divine son, appeared as Sachi Shuta, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Balaram has incarnated in the form of Lord Nityananda. And along with them, so many of their eternal associates appeared. The Dwadasha Gopals, the 12 Gopals, the favorite cowherd boys of Sri Krishna, all appeared in the form of devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as well as the principal gopis and manjaris. Lalita Sakhi appeared as Swarup Damodar Goswami. Vishaka Sakhi appeared, as Ramananda Rai. Rupa Manjari appeared as Srila Rupa Goswami. So of the 12 Gopals, Subal, one of the dearmost friends of Krishna Balaram, he appeared as Goridas Pandit. And Goridas Pandit, he lived in a village. And it was very close to the village of Navadvip, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his wonderful pastimes. And Goridas Pandit would regularly, with the ecstasy of great love, join the beautiful kirtan performance of Nitai Gora Chandra. In the 24th year of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, he decided that I have come to this earth to spread the message of pure love of God, bhakti, through the Yuga Dharma of Nam Sankirtan. But people are not listening to me very much. There is a core of very, very sincere devotees here in Navadvip, but what about the rest of the world? I should give up my grihastha ashram and take sannyas, because then people will take everything I say very serious. And whether they believe in me or not, they will offer obeisances to me. They will bow to me. And because I am the Supreme Godhead, when they bow to me, they will become purified. So before taking sannyas, he and Lord Nityananda went to the village of Ghoridas Pandit and told him what they were about to do. And Lord Chaitanya did, his plan was to go to Vrindavan and stay there. So he was bidding farewell to Ghoridas. And upon hearing this, Ghoridas Pandit became very, very much sorrowful. He began to cry and to weep and to lament the imminent separation from the Lord of his life. He was begging the Lord, please, you cannot go. You must not go. You must not leave my home. I insist, I demand, whatever it takes, but please, if you leave me, I am sure to die. And he fell at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga and bathed their lotus feet with his tears, completely immersed in divine thoughts of love. We were explaining that Krishna is always imprisoned by his own sweet will, by the mind that always remembers him in love. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda sing the plight of Ghoridas Pandit, who knew nothing in this world except their lotus feet. The Lord said, all right, we will manifest to you beautiful murtis of ourselves, which look identical to ourselves. And in this way, we will always be living in your home. And you can cook for us, and you can have kirtan for us, and you can bathe us, and dress us, and just offer to your heart's content all of your love. So just then, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu raised their arms in their classical pose of kirtan as they have appeared here at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. And from their bodies came two beautiful deities that looked identical to them. There were two Lord Nityanandas and two Lord Chaitanyas. And then they said, all right, now we are going. We have a preaching mission. There are so many millions of conditioned souls out there. Now I must go. And Ghoridas Pandit said, no, 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 please do not go. Let me first cook for all of you. So he cooked a wonderful feast of prasad, bhoga, and offered it to them. And then when it was time to go, he was saying, please do not go. He said, but there's no difference between the murtis and ourselves. There's absolutely no difference. So Ghoridas Pandit was a very intelligent man. He said, ah, there is no difference. Then let the murtis go and you stay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is captured by the love of his devotees. They could not say no. They said, all right. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda raised their arms and they became murtis, and the murtis put down their arms and started walking out. And Ghoridas Pandit fell at the lotus feet of the two lords that were coming out. He said, no, 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 please, you cannot go. You cannot go. I'm begging you, don't go. I will die. I cannot live without you. But we're here. We're not different than those murtis. Ah, then let the murtis go. You stay. So they raised their arms, became murtis, and the murtis put down their arms and started walking away. This went on again and again. Finally, Ghoridas Pandit was running back and forth. Finally said, my Lord, you are the supreme independent personality of Godhead. Ultimately, you must do what you must do. But I will worship you here with my heart and soul. I know nothing but you, my Lord. Sadhu nam hridayam mayam, sadhu nam hridayam tvaham. Maranyatena jananti naham tebyo namatmanagapi. In the Bhagavatam, Lord Narayan says that the sadhu, he knows nothing but me, and therefore I know nothing but the sadhu. His mind is always immersed in thoughts of me, therefore my mind is always immersed in thoughts of him. He has sacrificed everything in this world for my sake, therefore. Therefore, I must sacrifice everything of my own for his sake, for his pleasure. So in this way, the Lord was worshipped by Gauridas Pandit with such love and such devotion. But it is explained that after many, many years, he started becoming very old. And every day he would cook a wonderful, wonderful feast of dozens and dozens and dozens of preparations for the pleasure of Nithai Gaura Sundar. And every day, just for his pleasure, he would actually see with his own eyes Lord Sri Gauranga and Sri Nityananda Prabhu eat that bhoga. But one day, they did not eat. So he began to cry. What offense have I committed? My dear Lord, why you are not eating my food? Have I committed some offense? If you do not eat, how will I ever be able to eat? Why should I even go on living if you're not willing to accept my service? So seeing such love, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya spoke to him through the form of the Murti and said, it is not like that. It is not that we don't like your food. Well, if you don't like it, just tell me. I'll cook something else right now. Just tell me what you want. He said, no. The problem is this. You are very old. And it's so much trouble for you to cook every day like this. Patram pushpam balam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. If you just offer us a tulsi leaf, we're satisfied. There's no need for such elaborate arrangements. It breaks our hearts to see you working so hard. Just give us something simple. We will accept it. It is your love that nourishes our hearts. If that is your desire, then I will do so. On another occasion, Gauridas Pandit was thinking how wonderful it would be to get beautiful jewelry, beautiful garlands, and beautiful clothes for my Nithai Gauranga and decorate them so nicely. But he had very little money, and also he was very old. Where can he get all these things? So when he came into the temple room that day, he saw the most gorgeous, beautiful silken garments, jewelry, and garlands decorating the deities. And Nithai Gauranga, they simply smiled at him. Because your only desire is simply to please us, our only desire is to please you. It is explained that Gauridas Pandit had many, many disciples because of the simplicity of his pure love for Krishna. People would come from all directions to take shelter of his lotus feet. One of his disciples, his name was Hridoy Chaitanya. Hridoy Chaitanya, it is very interesting how he received his name from Gauridas Pandit. What took place is this. Gauridas Pandit, he learned that very soon was approaching Gaura Purnima, the divine appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wanted to have a wonderful celebration and invite all his disciples from all directions to come to his beautiful temple and offer the love of their congregational kirtan to the Lord. So Gauridas explained this to Hridoy Chaitanya, and then he left. He had some work to do. And Gauridas Pandit didn't come back for some days, and Hridoy Chaitanya was thinking, if we do not send out the invitations very soon, people will not have time to come. And my Guru Maharaj is gone. So he took the liberty to send out invitations to everyone. And then Gauridas Pandit returned. And Hridoy Chaitanya told him, and Gauridas Pandit said, you are a rascal. Why you sent these invitations without consulting your spiritual master? This is disobedience. You cannot make spiritual advancement without the blessings of Gurudev. Therefore, get out of here. Go live on the bank of the Ganges. Don't live in my ashram any longer. We must understand, when great personalities become angry, it is not like the anger of a conditioned soul. Krishna says in Gita, Jayato Vishayan Pungshang Sangat Sangashab Jayate, that when one contemplates the objects of the senses with one's mind, attachment takes place. From such attachment, lust. And when our material desires are unfulfilled, krodha, krodha bhavati samohat, we become angry. And from that anger, we lose our intelligence and fall down into material life. But the great devotees of the Lord, their anger is transcendental. It is only meant for the betterment of their disciples. It is only meant to teach a lesson, to stress the importance of something. Because such great souls, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayeshir Junatishtati, they are simply being directed by Krishna. So Hridoy Chaitanya felt very bad, and he went to the bank of the Ganges, and there he sat, lamenting, what a sinful person I am. And then a very wealthy man came to him. He was on a boat. He met Hridoy Chaitanya. Hridoy Chaitanya, he preached to him for some time. And he told him about his guru, Gauridas Pandit. He said, such a great guru. He has made a disciple like you. Please give him this donation. And he gave him a large sum of money. So Hridoy Chaitanya came back to Gauridas Pandit. I have all this money. It's yours. Gauridas Pandit said, yes, that's why I sent you to the Ganges. Because we needed money to put on this festival for Lord Chaitanya's birthday. So they made a wonderful, wonderful elaborate arrangements. And all the devotees came. And Gauridas Pandit, he was very old. So he was staying in his little kutir. And meanwhile, all the devotees, led by his principal disciple, Hridoy Chaitanya, they went to the bank of the Ganges. It was Mahaprabhu's birthday, and they began wonderful, wonderful kirtan. They were chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, with such enthusiasm and such devotion and love. Krishna says to Narada Muni, Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta, that you will not find me in the Himalayas where the yogis are meditating. You will not find me in the scholarly institutions where the pundits and the scholars are studying the Shastra. You will not find me where great souls are performing karmakanda sacrifices. You will find me wherever my devotees come together to chant my holy name. That is where I eternally reside. So they were having such beautiful, loving kirtan together. The supreme expression of love between two human beings is manifested during the kirtan of the Lord. Because all ego, all material designations dissolve in the sound of Krishna's name. There's no question of high class, low class. There's no question of I'm better than you. Everyone's mind is simply immersed that together we are praising the greatness of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And the intimacy awakened through the process of kirtan amongst human beings is the sweetest and most pleasing to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So as they were chanting, the kirtan was at such a crescendo of bhakti that right before everyone's eyes, this is many years after Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya had already disappeared from this world, right before everyone's eyes, Sriman Mahaprabhu, Lord Gaurachandra, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, they appeared. And they became dancing in the center of all the devotees. And when the devotees saw this, they were struck with wonder. Tears were flowing from the cores of their hearts as they were resounding tumultuously the holy names, Jai Satchinandana, Jai Satchinandana. And at that time, in the temple, which is some distance away, the pujari, whose name was Gangadas Pandit, he went to offer seva to the murtis. And when he went into the temple, the deities were gone. He began to look all around for them. Where could they be? Did somebody steal them? Nobody could steal them. And he was looking here, there, everywhere. And he went and he called Gauridas Pandit, his Guru Maharaj. The deities are gone. And meanwhile, they looked a distance away and they saw on the bank of the Ganges, there was Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, the murtis, dancing with all the devotees. And Gauridas Pandit, very old, he was afraid, very much afraid. If they start dancing with the devotees, they may dance away and I may never see them again. He was always afraid that they were going to leave him. So he took a stick in his hand and he went to make sure they went back in the temple. You see, in the material form of existence, we are all captured by the restless mind. But when our mind is always fixed in Krishna, Krishna is imprisoned by his own divine mercy within our minds. That is love. So when Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityananda saw Gauridas Pandit coming with a stick, they became very much afraid. And they were thinking, where shall we hide? And he was coming closer and closer. And they were looking around. And they saw there was no place for them to run. So all of a sudden, they just entered into the heart of Hridaya Chaitanya, the disciple. And when Gauridas Pandit saw this, he fell at the feet of Hridaya Chaitanya and offered his obeisances to his own disciple. And he said, you are the most fortunate of all fortunate beings because the Supreme Lord has taken shelter within the core of your heart. And then he named him Hridaya Chaitanya. Hridaya Chaitanya means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always within his heart. And then the deities again manifested on the altar. And everyone came back and had beautiful aarti ceremony. And in this way they celebrated in such a wonderful way the divine appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So through these wonderful stories we learn that spiritual life is not simply the labor of struggling to somehow or other curb the restless nature of the mind. At the beginning, it may be. But Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhaktaruchyate. The impersonalists, the Astanga yogis, they are trying to control their minds by the artificial process of just dragging the mind and fixing it on a particular object. But in the divine school of Bhagavad Dharma, this is not the process. The process is simply to keep the mind with Krishna, just to surrender it to Him, just to leave it to Him. Don't ever let go of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And through this process, Krishna personally appears within our hearts. And when He appears within our hearts, through the process of sadhana bhakti, which means discipline, we become purified by the grace of Guru and Gauranga. And in the purified state, we attain that state called raga bhakti, where Krishna is spontaneously revealing Himself within our hearts, within our minds, 24 hours a day. And it is that state of raga bhakti which gives one entrance into bhava and prema, pure love of God. And the devotees of the Lord, they care nothing for anything except that. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajaka disha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavata bhaktir ahaitaki twahi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us through this sacred prayer of the Shikshastakam. I do not want any amount of wealth. People are laboring like mudhas, like animals, beasts of burden, simply for a little wealth, proprietorship. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't want any of that. And I do not want beautiful, beautiful women to enjoy the company of. People are mad after the opposite sex. And I do not want fame and followers. Some people, they give up wealth, they give up beautiful women, they become gurus and yogis, develop some powers, and then they enjoy a higher type of sense gratification, to be worshipped, idolized, to have followers glorifying you and worshipping you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I do not want any of that. And others, when they're frustrated with all these things, they want to seek shelter of mukti, liberation, where they never have to suffer again, they never have to take birth in this material world again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I do not want liberation or salvation. My heart and mind is fixed on one goal in life. Mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhaktir ahoitaki twahi. My Lord, that I may be engaged in your loving service, birth after birth after birth. Naham vipro na cha narapatir napi vaisho na shudro. Naham vagani na cha grihapatir na togatir va. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das Das Anu Das. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that there is only one goal of life worth aspiring for. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of all the servants.
Gopi Bharatur. Gopi Bharatur means Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis, Sri Krishna.
Therefore, we must keep our mind and attention always fixed on that goal and do whatever it takes. We'll give up anything or accept anything for that goal alone in our life. And we will associate intimately only with those people who have targeted all their attention in life toward that goal of seeking refuge at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. And that refuge is so easily available in this age of Kali Yuga. Because the complete, pure refuge of the feet of Godhead can be found by anyone, in any circumstance, by simply, with a sincere and attentive mind, a chanting His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama.